Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
I'm Michelle.
And we're doing kind of another rom-com staple.
Woohoo!
This time we're doing The Wedding Planner.
The Wedding Planner is a 2001 movie. Stars Jennifer Lopez, Matthew McConaughey, Justin Chambers, Judy Greer, Alex Rocco, Lou Myers, Bridget Wilson Sampras.
Yes.
Which is Pete Sampras's wife. I was like, Sampras? No way! Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It was directed by Adam Shankman. Who also did Walk to Remember, Hairspray. You and I know him because he's a very prolific choreographer as well.
Yes, like we know him well from So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes, he also, I found out a lot later, choreographed the Buffy episode Once More with Feeling.
Yes.
And then it's written by Pamela Falk and Michael Ellis, mm-hmm. who wrote nothing else until 2010. they've written this. She always works with him, Pamela. Mm-hmm. Always works with Michael Ellis. Michael Ellis has written one other thing. And so they've written five things together, and he's written one thing other than that. Also kind of important to note, this is Adam Shankman's first real directing job.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting because it's a pretty high-profile first directing job.
Yes, it is.
It has an IMDb score of 5.3 out of 10 and a Rotten Tomato score of 16%.
Ooh.
However, the audience score is 59%.
Okay.
So,
that's more than what I expected.
Yeah. Yeah. The critics ripped that one apart because it was 2001. So, we're getting to, the tail end of the, of rom-com. 2001 to 2003 and 4-ish is when, the critics started really, bashing on rom-coms.
Yeah. It's.
So.
Yeah. Because it's post, it's definitely Four Weddings and a Funeral, but I was trying to think of My Best Friend's Wedding. it wasn't.
It's post all that.
Yeah, it's post all that. It's Notting Hill is in there too. This was definitely on the kind of, this was definitely on kind of the downslide.
Well, and that. Justin Chambers would go on to be very well known for Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
Where he plays Krev. Judy Greer, who we've already covered on this podcast.
We already covered her,
Because she's the best friend in rom-coms.
Yes.
Lou Myers is like my heart. I had to put him in. Because Lou Myers played
Mr. Gaines
on A Different World.
Which you will hear us talk about.
I will say one other thing before you give your synopsis of
this.
I want to know why there wasn't an actual Italian in this movie.
Yeah.
Because Alex Rocco was from an Italian family, but he was born in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Chambers was born in Ohio. Massimo is not
Italian. Yeah. There's another actor that I get that I sometimes conflate with Alex Rocco.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I love Alex Rocco and I've seen him in a dozen things, and he's always playing the kind of token Italian character.
Mm-hmm.
But I always conflate him with another actor whose name I cannot remember right now, but I was watching this movie and I was with Alex Rocco, and I was just thinking, what do I know him from? Obviously, he has a very tiny part in That Thing You Do that's very memorable to me for some reason. Then I was like, oh, well, and he's the dad in one of my favorite horror movies. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, wait, that's the other guy.
Yeah.
it's
one of those things.
It's just one of those things. But, I love Alex Rocco. And also, you didn't mention
I figured we mentioned some in the actual.
Yeah, you mentioned some.
Because there's two that I did not mention that are big. One big for me, one big for me.
Well, we'll get to those real quick. I'll give the synopsis. If for somehow you've been living under a rock and haven't seen this movie.
Or if you're young.
Or if you're a youngin'. The synopsis of this is Mary Fiore is San Francisco's most successful wedding planner. She knows all the tricks. She knows all the rules. But then she breaks the most important rule of all. She falls in love with the groom.
Yeah, but that is so misleading because that is.
It is. Oh, it is.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know, yeah. She doesn't intentionally fall in love with a groom. She falls in love with a guy, and then turns out he's the groom at the wedding she's planning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just very quickly want to mention, we have Joanna Gleason in this cast.
I forgot to mention her. I'm sorry.
Just mwah. And also, Kathy and Jimmy.
That's the one I was going to bring up later.
Yes.
Because she's only in, like, maybe one scene, two scenes.
She has two scenes in this movie.
Yeah, and that's
and,
it.
Like, and in but, the second one, she's not doing anything.
Yeah. Kathy and Jimmy is forever one of my favorite people.
Yes, and the one that was a shock and surprise to me, because I have not seen this movie in a decade.
Uh-huh.
It has been a while. The fact that Kevin Pollak... Mm-hmm. is Steve's golfing buddy.
Yep.
I just immediately, like, I just screamed and, like, clapped with joy. Because, like, I love Kevin Pollak with, like, all of my soul.
And he was kind of like Judy Greer. He was that friend in, like, a lot of movies. Like, he was that, like,
well,
the random guy that you, you want to have around.
The two things that, like, I am most familiar with him, like, from, like, when I was growing up, was A Few Good Men.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great movie. And, oh, I love that movie.
God, it's so good.
But he's the best friend.
Yeah, he's the friend. And also, I'm going to get this wrong. But he's one of the sons in the Grumpier Old Men movies.
Oh, yeah. I've also seen that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I can't remember whose son he is. But yeah, he, grew up watching him in those movies. But, you know, as I've gotten older, like, and also, oh God, he was also in Willow. Sorry, that was great. I adore Kevin Pollak, and as I got older, I have a different appreciation for him, mostly because of he has his own, not so much now, I don't think, since he started, like, he's gotten busy with, like, directing,
mm-hmm.
But he, for a long time, had his sort of, like, streaming show and, like, also podcast, the Kevin Pollak Chat Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the man... does the best interviews I have ever heard. And it's phenomenal. I'm like, if anybody's listening to this, like, go, like, take a minute. Like, I guarantee you there is somebody on the Kevin Pollak Chat Show, like, that, like, somebody has guessed it that you will be a big fan of. But yeah, so to see him in this movie, I'm like, I immediately, like, drunk giraffe dance. Like, it made me so happy.
Well, and then, of course, to tackle the two big, like, elephants in the room, you've got Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
Jennifer Lopez as an Italian is an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Because she was known for being Jenny from the Block. And
yeah.
So it's just like, it's fun. It doesn't ever get bad. And Matthew McConaughey, knowing who was supposed to play the part, because I read the trivia, it was supposed to be Brendan Fraser.
Yes. Okay. I was like, there was some. Who was it?
Bedazzled, I think is what it was called. Caused a conflict. Which
I have a love-hate relationship with Bedazzled, because it's just, like, on the one hand, like, I appreciate it, and, like, I appreciate the mm-hmm. things that it tried to do. On the other hand, I watched it, and I wanted to pull out my fucking hair. Like, I could not get through it.
Well, but that movie is what stopped Brendan Fraser from being able to do this movie.
Yes.
So that's, to me, just kind of a strange turn of events, because McConaughey's great in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really like Steve/Eddie. I don't know what we're going to end up referring to him as the most.
In my notes, he is Steve all the way.
I caught myself writing Eddie and crossed it out and wrote Steve after.
I will say, Holly Fry, who is one of the hosts of the Stuff You Missed in History podcast, I love and adore her, and she is, like, the biggest, like, pop culture nerd I have ever seen. And on some podcast, I don't remember what they were talking about, but Matthew McConaughey came up, and she's like, yeah, he's okay. She's like, this is going to sound kind of mean. She's like, but I just always kind of refer to him as Bubba Suave.
Okay.
And there were a couple of times in this movie, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah. Well, and this is, to me, such a different part. Because, like, I went into this, I'm going to tell you, I went into this really afraid the How to Lose a Guy thing
yes.
was going to happen again. And I did not feel like it did in the same way. Not at all. In the way that movie felt.
I have some problems with this movie. Like, just, like, I don't think it necessarily ages well in a couple of areas. I don't have...
The list of litany of things.
I don't have issues with it like I do How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Well, and, like, this will sound weird, too. In this movie, he's a good person who did a bad thing.
Yes.
In How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, they're horrible people.
Yeah.
But in this movie, he's actually a good person who messed up one time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that is much more forgivable Yes. But, and like, this was J-Lo, like, kind of the height, like, because the two of them together, maybe this, because Made in Manhattan was after this, right?
Made in Manhattan was well after this.
Yeah, because it was the same year, it was the same time 2.5, or 2 weeks Notice came out.
Yeah.
I was like, that's right, because I saw them at the same time.
Yes.
So I gotta rewind that in my head. But yeah, like, this is J-Lo, like, it's, because it, well, to me, it's J-Lo not having to play J-Lo.
Then, if that's the case, because 2 weeks Notice, it was filmed, like, it was filmed before September.
It was filmed in 2002.
Well, no, it was filmed before, or no, was it after?
Because it was the first movie to come back.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it started filming in 2001, and then, okay, never mind.
It was the first movie to bring production back to New York. That was the big deal.
That's right.
And Made in Manhattan, I think, came out just before it, or just after it. They were both in theater at the same time. That's the thing to remember for me.
Right.
But yeah, so,
for some reason, I always think that Made in Manhattan came out, like, 5 years after this.
Yeah, no, it would have been just a year or two later.
Yeah.
So this is, like, starting her rise, really, in that, because, I mean, she had Selena back in the 90s, which is an amazing movie.
Selena was in, like, 97.
Yeah, it was in the 90s.
That movie is phenomenal.
That movie's amazing. Yeah, I love Selena. That's such a good movie. But anyway.
Yeah. I want to change the topic of this podcast just to talk about that movie now.
But, like, this was, like, really the start of her, like, really starting to raise.
Okay, she did that. She did, like, I think it was Out of Sight, like, with Clooney.
I think so.
Like, yeah, she had that movie with Clooney.
I think this was, like, one of her first really, really big blockbuster, like.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'd have to look at her stuff to do it. But it's Jennifer Lopez. We all know who she is now.
Right.
And Matthew McConaughey is now an Academy Award winner.
Right.
Which just boggles the mind.
I know.
But I mean, I'm not, I like him a lot.
Okay. The thing about Matthew McConaughey and, like, his sudden, or not sudden, because, like, he's been in the industry for forever.
But he took this very dramatic turn.
Yes. Because we just kind of, for a long time, because to me, he is always going to be, because the first thing I ever saw him in is the movie Contact. To me, he is always going to be charming, but affable, very, like, very calm, and very, like, very calm Palmer Joss from the movie Contact. Like, that is just always what I immediately think of him. Like, because, like, I have watched that movie, like, most of my life, and I love it so much. that's the thing that I always think of him. And so then, like, once he started doing the kind of rom-com circuit, because it feels like this was kind of his first foray into,
I think, wasn't he in Ed TV? Because I think he's pretty high in that.
I've never seen
that. And that's kind of rom-com-y. I haven't watched all of it, but it's got some rom-com-y elements to it.
Okay.
But it was not a huge success, I don't think. So this, I would say this is probably one of his first.
Yeah, I was going to say, this feels,
If Brendan Fraser was the one supposed to have the role, and then they gave it to Matthew McConaughey, that just sets the scene for the world we lived in.
Right, for the time.
I love Brendan Fraser. Let me also make that super clear. Like,
oh, yeah.
I friggin' love and adore that man. Doom Patrol is amazing. Everyone should subscribe to DC and just watch it, because it makes me happy. But anyway.
And we've already, at this point, we've already covered Blast from the Past.
Yes, Blast from the Past.
And so,
like, first thing I ever saw him was George of the Jungle. So, like, the idea that he was at the zenith of his career at that point, and McConaughey was just starting,
yeah,
is an interesting, like thought process.
Because, like, McConaughey was doing stuff, I think, like, Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, and, like, he did, like, stuff. Yeah, because he was, like, always the stoner guy or the surfer guy. He was kind of like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon have talked about. They were always cast as certain roles.
Yes.
Until they wrote their own. He didn't ever write his own. He just kind of got on that rom-com train.
It was like after this, he did kind of get into that rom-com train. And because from there we see him in Failure to Launch,
yep,
and How to Lose a Guy in 10 mm-hmm. Days. We see Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Oh, yeah. That's one of his last ones, because it did so badly.
It was awful.
I tried to watch it and couldn't get through it. Yeah.
I was forced to go see it at the cinema.
Well,
and I wanted to, like, slit my wrist with a popcorn bucket. Like, I was trying to fashion a weapon.
And, like, the difference for me, this can sound really weird, the other thing between, like, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, Hell's Guy in 10 Days, those are written for Matthew McConaughey. Like,
yeah.
in a lot of ways. Those are written for that Southern charm and or that you know, affable nature to come through and make it be something that we're really attracted to. Because, like, I feel like, especially Ghost of Girlfriend's Past and stuff, is built on his, like, Playboy, at the time, his Playboy reputation. That's what I was trying to think of. Wow. Playboy reputation. And then, but whereas this, and, like, same thing with Jeff Lopez, like, Made in Manhattan is definitely written with Jennifer Lopez as the main character. Like, it's very much got her, like, it feels like Jennifer Lopez. So this is written for two other, like, it could have been other people in the role. In fact, she wasn't the first cast for it, I don't believe. I'd have to look it up. The person who was supposed to play the Jennifer Lopez Mary was Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
Buffy kept her from doing it.
Right.
So, like, that would have really, Brendan Gleeson and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No.
Brendan Fraser. Brendan Gleeson's a whole other thing.
It's like, I would have so many issues.
Brendan Fraser and Sarah Michelle Gellar as the leads. That would have been
2001, what season of Buffy would that have been?
5.
Okay, see, to me, like, I think she would have been too young to play against Brendan Fraser.
I think it's 5, because 99 is when they graduate high school, so then 99, 2, no, it would have been 6.
6.
It would have been going into 6.
Yeah. Like you said, I think
either into 5 or beginning of 6 to film it, probably 5.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm like, I think they both would have been great. I can't necessarily picture the two of them together.
Right? It would have been weird.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Lopez and McConaughey have really good chemistry in this.
They do.
And I love the opening of the movie to start finally talking about the actual movie. 17 minutes in. But yeah, they start, like, the movie opens with, like, her planning a Barbie wedding, and it's so cute. Mm-hmm. And then they transition from the Barbie, like, the same headpiece is on the Barbie that's on the bride. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she gives her pep talk speech.
Yes.
That's really good. You know, you're exquisite. You're timeless. You know,
you have the love of a man named blank. Tom. And insert name here.
And she, you know, she gives the speech and then, you know, sets her on her path. The girl is good now. The bride will be fine. The cold feet have been taken care of. And then she enters mode and, like, she's so good.
Yeah.
Like, entering wedding planner mode, she's, like, walks out of the room, you do this, you do this, you do this, check this, check this. Like, anybody got a 20 on the FOB?
Yeah.
Like, we find the father of the bride. Right. She finds him drunk on the stairs crying because his baby's getting married. So she, you know, pops a sedative into him, gets some breath mints in there, and he's good to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like she's prepared for any and all crises that could possibly
any and
occur.
All eventualities she is prepared and that's something that, like, we continue to see is that, you know, once she, you know, like, once she gets through this wedding, it's like everybody in the office is, like, coming to her of, like, oh my god, how do I fix this problem? And she's got the answer. I don't know why, just one of the things that always amused me was we see, you know, at, like, this huge wedding, and, like, she's finally, you know, like, we've gotten the, you know, so, like, she's gotten father of the bride, like, to, you know, to, like, get the bride down the aisle, and everything, finally, it's smooth sailing, and she and Penny, which is played by Judy Greer, you know, they're kind of, like, up in the balcony, just, like, oh, like, watching everything, and there are two female guests at this wedding who turn around and see him. It's like, oh, that's the wedding planner. She must have the most romantic life. Immediately cut to, like, her very, very prim, very, like, obsessively controlled.
Everything is in its place.
Yeah, very neat, very tidy, very solitary life.
She is a very controlled person. Like, I did crack up, though, because I immediately thought, of course she has a romantic life. She spends her whole life taking care of other brides.
Yeah.
Brides are needy bitches. Like, let's just say it. They are very needy people.
I was going to ask this. I know, like, you and your mom basically just, like, planned.
Well, and a lady at my church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I knew, like, you guys just kind of had it well in hand. Yeah. Was there ever any time that you thought that maybe, like, we should hire a wedding planner?
No, because we were doing our wedding on a budget. and I had already been given, like, I was very, very lucky in that I was my wedding invitations were a gift. My wedding cake was a gift. Mm-hmm. My mom bought my dress. I was able to buy my bridesmaids' dresses. Josh bought my bouquet. So, like, it was very much like all, like, the job I had was going out of business. So I got our candles, the candle, the crystal candlesticks, which are back there. They're still in my house. I got them on a very good sale. I got the ribbon that we tied on the stuff on a very good sale.
Yeah.
Like, mine was the budget wedding. Like, as much as we could possibly budget, because neither of us come from wealthy families or even middle-class families.
Yeah.
So it was very much a, like, how cheaply can we get this done? I don't think that the idea of the closest I got to hiring a wedding planner was Miss Nona, who's the lady who did it, and Anne. Like, friend Anne. That is the closest I ever got to even thinking about a wedding planner.
Yeah, which
in some ways is bad because I missed some things. Like, looking back, there's some things that got missed. But
yeah,
it happens. Because, like, I was smart enough to print or to type up all the pictures I wanted. And then I moved my stuff into my fiance's because I was living with my parents. It was summer and stuff.
Yeah.
And I moved my stuff into my fiance's stuff that weekend. And left my laptop there because I won't need it for the wedding tomorrow. The laptop had the list, and I never printed the list off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one photo that I still get grief about is my mom, and my mom's mom did not get a photo with just me.
Yeah.
You know what? That's life. She should have been late. Okay.
It was just something that, like, I was curious about because, basically because, like, during that point in our lives, our friend Anne, I have been telling her, like, that she and I just needed to go into, like, a wedding planning, like, business, like, and get, like, basically, like, our friend group, like, we all had sort of, you know, we all had certain specialties that could have gone into it, and, like, that, because if it, like, our friend Anne, she is just this very, very organized, very type A person. This would have been had she not found her calling, this would have been like wedding planning would have been, or just event planning would have been the perfect profession for
between her and the lady from my church, Miss Nona. Miss Nona took care of all the decorations.
Yes.
And then my mother and I did the few flowers. My mom and I took care of that by ourselves. But because Anne lived in, you know, 5 hours away from me, so she couldn't exactly come down and help that way. But being there the day of, like, she did my hair, she did my makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Friend that's on his way over, his wife made sure I didn't forget anything at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they weren't even together at the time. She drove him down, seen him in a car. But, like, she made sure that all my stuff was in the car and taken care of. Like, I was super grateful for everybody in my life on that day. And would a wedding planner have made that part easier? Probably. But I also have a mom who is super, super organized. Like, mom was very organized with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped a lot. But yeah, having, if we had had like a bigger wedding, which our wedding, we had like 100 people at our wedding.
Yeah.
It was big for me.
It was a good sized wedding.
Yeah. But we weren't like, it wasn't a wealthy wedding. We used the church I grew up in, and the preacher was a preacher that I grew up with. Like,
yeah.
Like, it wasn't a production like Mary's weddings are in this.
True.
And Mary definitely does it for more affluent people.
Right.
So.
Like, then again, it is San Francisco.
Yes.
So.
but yeah, so then we see her boring life.
Yes.
And we see her at Scrabble with her dad and his friends. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to put a button on just how, like, boring her life is. I will not begrudge her this, because when she sits down, like, with her TV tray and, you know, the meal that she's got, she watches Antiques Roadshow. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. I watched that many, many times with my grandmother. The thing that I cannot forgive is vacuuming the curtains.
Yeah, she vacuums her curtains. She then, what else did she do?
She's basically using like the Sheldon like shirt folder.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was the thing that got me. I was like, really? Like, that's like retail store folding. Like, that's how you fold it in a retail store.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man. No, thank you.
But yeah, the vacuuming the curtains. I'm like, oh my god. Just no.
So she has like nothing, like there's nothing in her life but her father and his friends and her work.
Yeah, that is all that she has.
And you know, you find out eventually, like Penny mentioned something about it later, that she hasn't had a date since 6 years ago.
Well, no, it's been 2 years.
2 years since she had a date. But
2 years since she had a date. And like, it's like basically just the line that we get is like, you know, Mary, it's been 6 years.
Cause she's like, are you ever going to get over him? It's only been 6 years.
Yeah. It's,
but yeah. So So you get that there's, like, something, and you find out exactly what happened later. But, like, the other thing for, like, how just anal retentive she is, mm-hmm. you find out later in another scene that she alphabetizes her credit cards. That's pretty...
That is a level of, like, needing to control mm-hmm. that like, borders on almost obsessive-compulsive. And...
Yeah, it is.
Just some armchair psychology here.
But so they're playing Scrabble, because they're on... You find out they're on the Scrabble team, the local, like, community Scrabble team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she plays a great word, and it gets, like, 72 points, which is really great for Scrabble.
She plays earwax.
Yeah. And, but the whole time her dad is talking to her about how she's alone and,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And he's like, I found a man for you. I found a husband for you.
I found a man who will marry you.
Yeah.
Is how he phrases it.
And she goes, oh, great. Bring him around. Like, to just put her dad off.
Oh, well, he's here.
And so out comes Massimo, played by Justin Chambers.
Yes.
Who speaks broken English,
mm-hmm.
but never Italian.
No. He does. Yeah. He throws in Italian words here and there. Like, it's,
which is really funny, but it's very stereotypical. Like
he throws in like the occasional, you know, like Italian phrase, like, yeah. You know, it's not like subtitled or whatever.
You're
it's
right.
Just,
he does. I
it's more of just like, you know, when he's kind of like talking to himself.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And Massimo is willing to marry her. He followed her around when they were children.
Yes. They,
she's like the boy who ate mud.
Because what it is, Massimo is, as Mary's dad, you know, explains, they, you know, her family spent a summer in Italy. And so he was the boy that she was just kind of thrown together with mm-hmm. that summer that they were in Italy. And, you know, he, like, Massimo just immediately starts in with, he's like, oh, you've grown up to be much more beautiful. Like, you were once, like, so scrawny, and your head was too big for your body, and just all this. And she's just basically like, no. And
leaves. Like, and she's very mad at her dad for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she leaves. The next thing we really see is her back at work. Like, she stops at a coffee vendor and picks up a magazine and a paper.
Uh-huh.
And she goes to Kathy Najimy.
Najimy!
Her boss. Because she's like, I'm going to land this giant Donnelly account, and then you are going to make me partner, because I've been here 5 years, and you know as well as I do, you can't do this without mm-hmm. me. Oh, I don't know about that. I've done the hard work, and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
I think more than all of your others combined. And she's
times
like,
five.
Times five. And all of a sudden, Najimy just kind of sits back down. I forgot her boss. Jerry.
Yeah.
But she just sits back down, like, defeated. And she's like, yeah.
Because Mary tells her, he's like, I'm going to pull off this wedding, and, like, and when I do, you're going to make me a partner. And so Jerry's just like, no. It's like, I have sweated. I have toiled. Like, I have done things that an innocent little wedding planner should never have to hear. It's like, I have made sacrifices. And then Mary's just immediately like, and you also made no money.
Yeah.
Until I came along. It's like, you need me.
And it's pretty evident, like, by because, like, they're walking through the offices is happening. And, like, Jerry solves a thing. And solves two or three problems while she's walking.
Jerry just hands something to somebody and says, like, here, I need you to do this for me. And that person goes off.
Yeah. But then they come to a bride that used sun tanning cream, like fake.
Like, basically, like, spray tan.
Spray tan type stuff. And they're crying. And immediately Mary fixes the problem. She's like, go home. Just calm down. It's okay. Stop crying. Go home and do this. And you'll be fine. Really? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. She's like she's the fairy godmother of weddings. Like, yeah. And so Najimy, eventually Jerry agrees.
Yes.
And so we continue on, because we're going to see, they're coming to the wedding she's planning this afternoon that she has planned to see her work.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut to the wedding, and she is feeding the best man the speech.
Yes.
Which is great.
Oh, over an earpiece.
And she gets seen. Mm-hmm. By the bride that has come to see her.
Francine Donnelly.
Francine, yeah. And Francine is like, that was smooth, like, good mm-hmm. job kind of thing. And then we meet her parents.
Yes. Joanna Gleason plays her mother.
Yes. And Joanna Gleason did, like, Into the Woods, like,
which
originally.
Okay, I didn't necessarily get that, like, back in 2001. The fact that it's Joanna Gleason, and she's playing a character who, like, everybody in this movie tells her, like, she can't sing. I was like, Like, that is irony, my dude.
And we also hear her sing, and she's awful.
Yeah.
Like, you hear her sing, she's awful. And the actress is, like,
she's
at least Tony nominated, if not winning.
No, she is a Tony Award winner for the musical Into the Woods for playing the baker's wife.
Yeah. So, the woman can sing.
Yes.
Like, I've seen the performance that actually used to be on Amazon Prime. It's not anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, before the new one came out, I saw that. It was the first one I saw. Like, she's amazing.
Between her playing, like, the baker's wife and then also her short stint on the West Wing, I bloody love Joanna Gleason.
Yeah. So she's phenomenal.
And the actor who plays Francine's father, Mr. Donnelly, I cannot remember his name, but I used to love him on Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
So, like, and this was just a few years kind of post that. So at that time, like, people definitely knew who he was, and I apologize for not remembering his name.
But he's a very character, like, it's very, like, character actor type.
Yes,
role.
Very much so.
So then, but as they basically have hired her now.
Like, they're asking, you know, like, well, you know, what do you see, you know, for our daughter's wedding? And she kind of wows them. And, you know, they're very much in awe of her, like, visualization for the wedding. And they basically hire her on the spot.
Yeah, because we find out while she's walking down the street, she's on the phone with Jerry and then with Penny, telling them that she got the account.
She got the gig, yeah. This was a detail I had never caught in previous viewings of this movie, that they want it in 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, it's going to be a rush job because they want it in 3 months. So there's going to be some, like, corners cut and we have to be as quick as we can. And everything has to be planned fast. So, as she's walking across the street on the phone, her lovely Gucci heel, I think it's Gucci,
yes,
gets caught in a manhole, and there is a bad cab driver hits it, like, sideswipes
a dumpster,
which, it's San Francisco, there are hills everywhere, and it begins coming down the hill at her. She gets her foot out of the shoe, but she can't leave her shoe.
Yeah, my new Gucci shoes.
And she gets tackled out of the way and saved by Dr. Steve Edison, the head of pediatrics at this hospital.
Yeah.
And you saved my shoe. The line I will never forget from this movie.
I know.
Like, it is probably the line that I heard the most. Like, it was in all the trailers, of course.
Yes.
But, like, it's a very good me cute. Because he's a doctor and she passes out, he takes her to the hospital and makes sure she's okay.
Yeah, and I will say, like, we're kind of, like, rushing through it, but it's, like, it's kind of in this moment where it's like you kind of realize, like, okay, chemistry's there. Mm-hmm. Like, that was definitely, like, very noticeable to me.
Because he doesn't get off of her immediately after he tackles her out of the way.
Well,
he's, like, making sure she's okay, checking her head. And she's like, why are you still on top of me? Like, they really have this banter.
Yeah, and, you know, and he's like, okay, like, you know, mental clarity is excellent. Okay, like, he's doing the doctor thing of, you know, kind of, you know, quickly giving her, you know, a field exam, basically, and everything seems okay, and then once she, you know, like, he helps her to her feet, and then, like, she faints.
She tells him he smells like, I forget
he
what.
He smells like sweet red plums and
grilled cheese sandwiches. And then passes out in his arms. So he takes her to the hospital, takes care of her. There's a really cute scene with him and some kids to make us feel.
Which, I'm like,
just to further deepen his character, which is, hey, more than they gave us on How to Lose a Guy. I know more about Steve than I do about that. But anyway.
Than you do about Ben?
Yeah. So she's okay. As he's, like, telling her she can leave, Penny shows up, and Penny's like, this is the guy who saved you. Hello. Mm-hmm. And immediately, like, we're going to this movie tonight. You should come with us. It's being projected on the side of a museum.
Yeah.
You should come with us. It'd be lots of fun. Are you working tonight? Well, no, I have the night off. And it's really great because Mary's like, well, you don't do it. Kind of like, you don't feel obligated to come. Like, like, it's okay. Because Penny is being very desperate to get her friend a date, basically.
Yeah.
And he ultimately agrees, and Penny ditches them immediately with a horrible excuse. My friend's brother's godmother.
Yes.
Needs her help with something. Meanwhile, I was going to call him Lou. Forgot what his name is in here.
Bert.
Bert has been guarding her tree for her because he's a security guard there. So she's like, I have reserved seating. And they sit down and they're flirty. And that's where he gets the, you get the M&Ms. Like, he only eats the brown M&Ms. because there's less food coloring in the chocolate M&Ms.
Yeah, there's less artificial coloring. Yeah,
yeah, which is not true, but
yeah,
sure.
It's just it's one of those just weird quirks.
Yeah.
But yeah, they basically like just during this,
and it's an old movie.
Yeah,
that they're watching. It's called Tickets to Broadway. I've never seen it.
Janet Leigh, right?
It's Janet Leigh, and I actually wrote this down because I was interested. Janet Leigh and Tony Martin. Yeah.
Okay.
And so then as the musical part starts, everybody starts dancing down there, and she asks him to dance, and he says, he starts to say no. So, like, he tries to do the right thing, but then Bert is, like, being the
Bert,
uncle.
No, Bert just, like, kind of jumps in, and he's like, a woman asked you to dance, son, you dance.
Like, you're absolutely right, sir. How clumsy of me, how yeah. silly of me. And she's like, no, you don't have to. He's no, Bert's right. So they dance, and they almost kiss. And luckily some rain starts to fall, so they don't actually kiss.
Yeah.
And she is Twitter painted
mm-hmm.
at that moment. Like she is.
Which you would be.
Absolutely. It's good. Cause like, she also tells him she's in Scrabble Club and like he mm-hmm. and invites him to their next match. And
mm-hmm.
like, she's clearly into him. But yeah, so that is what happens. And then we see her with Fran at another wedding, which I don't really know why Fran was at that wedding.
Basically, kind of what I infer is that it's more that, like, that Mary is busy, and so is Fran, and so they're just taking, like, whatever opportunities they can
mm-hmm.
to get together, and...
Well, I thought Fran might have been, like, trying to make sure, like, get an idea for her own wedding, like, just kind of see...
Possibly that,
see
too.
See more stuff. But anyway, so she tells Fran what happened,
mm-hmm.
and Fran is like, it's been 3 days and you're like still starry eyed over him. Basically, like, that's so mm-hmm. great. And then another day or two passes and she takes some other clients of hers to a dance class. And in the dance class is where she meets Eddie, Fran's fiance,
yes.
better known as Steve Edison.
Yes. Because that's the thing, like this entire time, Fran has like referred to her fiance. He's like, oh, you know, my fiance Eddie, and you know, Eddie's gonna love this, and you know, Eddie's yeah. gonna do that, and you know, has only referred to him by Eddie, and so all of a sudden, there's Steve, and you know, there's a whole thing, and because this is an Adam Shankman movie, like we have to have a dance in here somewhere.
But it's so good.
It's good.
I don't really love Fred Willard as the dance instructor because I don't really love Fred Willard, but that was about the right amount of Fred Willard for me. Like I will say.
No, I'm right there with you.
If I'm going to have Fred Willard, that's about the amount I want him. Just long enough to be annoying and to annoy our main characters into dancing together.
But yeah, basically what it is that, I mean, Mary has brought some other clients, you know, to sign them up. Steve and Fran are there because as, you know, like Fran is saying, she's like, you know, Eddie can dance, but you know, I'm hopeless. So, you know, we're here for me because, you know, what we learned during Steve and Mary's not date was that, you know, when Mary asked him to dance, he took ballroom dancing classes when he was a kid because his mom wanted him to be Fred Astaire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's still got the moves. And so here he is in this dance class and Fran's phone starts ringing. And because, you know, it's the early 2000s, nobody can get a signal anywhere.
Yeah.
Fran is basically like, she's holding up the class. Fred Ward, his name is Basil something or another.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, he says he's chiding her, like chiding Fran to get off the phone, and Fran's like, oh no, they're together, and like pushes Mary and Steve.
And then steps out of the room basically.
Yeah, steps out of the room to finish the phone call.
Then we get like, and he goes, oh, you're just afraid to dance, like Fred Lynch character.
Yeah.
Just try kind of thing.
Yeah. Don't give in to the fear, give in to the dance.
And they do. Like that dance is so fun.
It is good.
I wrote down it crackles. Like, you
yes.
can feel the chemistry.
Yes, you absolutely
between
can.
Them, which is so good, because you don't always get that in that kind of movie. And
you don't. Still, like, being able to, like, feel, like, that level of chemistry
mm-hmm.
when... Because this dance does have quite a few cuts in it.
Yes.
And so, I I'm just more used to seeing, you know, like a longer
one shot.
Yeah, like a longer shot with dances and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And
but in some ways, the cuts themselves are part of the dance because it's a staccato dance.
Yes, it very much is. But that was something that impressed me when I was rewatching the movie. Was that the being able to like feel that like that they were able to like keep up that level of chemistry. Because, you know, just thinking about how many times you have to do like different setups for those different cuts and, and things like that. It was just something I was thinking about. I was rather impressed with.
Yeah.
But while they're having this dance, they're having a fight too.
Which is the perfect way to do it. Tango is the perfect
metaphor
for that. And you know, she's mad at him for,
okay. For starters, when Fran kind of pushes them out onto the dance floor, Fran tells her like, oh, just be careful of his thumb. Like he hurt it saving some old lady.
Yeah.
And so immediately like Mary's just like old lady, like you told your fiance you rescued an old lady and just like, okay, well, you know, there's a point for,
like there's a point for like, he knew he did something wrong.
Yes.
Because if he thought he was innocent, he would have told Fran about it.
Yes.
But because he knew it wasn't completely innocent, he did not
tell
his fiance.
And like it, this, you know, because they're doing the tango and like, you know, the fight as well as the dance, it kind of builds and builds. It crescendos into this almost like fever pitch. And the argument kind of ends with, you know, like, and he's doing this whole thing of, you know, saying, you know, like I got asked to go to a movie and I thought, hey, yeah, sure. I like the movies. And, you know, and all this, and, you know, somebody asked me to dance, so I dance, you know, like, and just going on, like, and finally, like, punctuating his point with, like, it didn't mean anything.
And nothing happened.
Like, and nothing happened, you know, like, and it didn't mean anything. And finally she goes, oh, it didn't mean anything? Then why did you almost kiss me?
And the dance ends.
And the dance ends, yeah.
And everybody's clapping, he's like, this couple gets it! And, of course, Fran missed all of that, and, like, ducks in, is, like, clapping distractedly, like, has no idea what they're clapping for.
Mm-hmm.
But then we go into this scene, which cuts back and forth between Mary and Steve with their best friends.
Yes.
And like, she's telling Penny she's going to quit because she has broken the cardinal rule.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, the cardinal rule is you don't fall in love with the groom. You have it. And then she explains Dr. Steve,
like,
is Eddie.
What about the doctor? Like, he's the groom. Wait, I'm confused.
The doctor is the doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor is the groom. And meanwhile, Steve Eddie, is out on the golf course with his friend.
He calls him Dr. John. It's Kevin Pollak.
Yeah. And he's expressing his feelings. He's like, maybe what I thought wasn't great, or what I thought think is great, isn't as great as something else.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. I have that whole quote down. Yeah. He's explaining this whole thing like about Mary to Kevin Pollak. And he's like adamant. Steve is saying like, it's not a mistake to marry Fran, like, because Fran is great. And then takes a minute, thinks about it and says, but what if what I think is great really is great, but it's not as great as something greater.
And his friend basically tells him, you're just having cold feet.
Yeah. This, like, and like what you're experiencing, it's not chemistry, it's anxiety.
Yeah. It's, this doesn't mean anything you think it means, like, let it go. It'll be fine, kind of thing. And so he goes, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Fran, you're right. Fran is who I'm supposed to be with. I love Fran. I'm going to marry Fran. Great. Decision made. Meanwhile, Penny pep talks. She goes, you are a professional. You are going to do this. And da 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 da. And finally, eventually, Mary has a rousing moment of, I am going to do this. You're right.
And yeah, agree, like, decides to stay on the account.
And then, so they go out into the hallway, and she also immediately wins a bet. She wins the pool. And down to, like, the week. She knows down to the week after a wedding.
Yeah, how long a couple is going to stay together.
And they're like, how do you do it? And she's like, I honestly love you was their wedding song. Puts them in the 14-month range for divorce.
Yep.
And she got it right. So she won the pot. And, like that, the little details like that, the things you learn as you go, like, that just makes so much sense. I love that.
Yeah, there was, we kind of skipped over when, like, when Fran was on the phone during the dance lesson, mm-hmm. Fran talks to Mary and Steve, and says, you know, oh, hey, you know, I think I have an idea, like, for a venue, you know, this, like, there's a, like, a, you know, a vineyard.
Up in Napa.
Yeah, up in Napa, you know, that, you know, dad has some connections, you think it might be great, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're going to go this weekend and check it out. And so Mary's like, okay, great. You know, like, you guys,
let me know how
yeah,
it goes.
Yeah, but I, well, I, it's more Steve who said, like, yeah, it's more Steve who's like, yeah, yeah, sure. Like, we'll check it out and we'll let you know, Mary. And Fran's like, oh no, 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 no. She's coming with us.
Yeah. She's a bride that needs her hand held.
Yeah.
She needs, because the other thing we didn't really mention is they're from a family, her family is newly affluent. They yes. are very much new money because dad, like, there was a potato chip. Is that what it was?
It was, no, it was like sausages or something like that.
Whatever. There is a food.
A thing in the 90s and the early 2000s was called like the dot-com bubble.
Yeah.
And so what happened was like these people, like who had basically just like a little like mom and pop shop in, you know, like the middle of nowhere. They had like a dot-com boom because they started selling their stuff online. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, this is pre Amazon. This mm-hmm. is pre, you know, any of this stuff. And so they had, it's like they had a dot-com boom and like they suddenly were making like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like they were able to like basically go global, like with what, and so they're like big business people, but they're very nouveau riche, and
this
so,
is their chance to like make themselves
yes,
this, a society event.
Yes. This is the opportunity for them to affix themselves like meaningfully in society.
Yeah.
And so that's like, there's a lot to this event. And also, you know, it's very clear Fran does a lot of the business. Mm-hmm. Fran is, you know, she's very important to the business. And so I can see maybe not so much like her needing her hand held as like kind of being able to give Mary a, this is vaguely like what I want.
Yeah.
I need you to do it.
Yeah. Have Mary there so she can, if it's what she wants, she can get the ball rolling immediately
exactly.
and get everything handled. Cause once again, they're on a time crunch.
Yeah. They're on a time crunch and they have like, and the bride and the bride's family are very busy people who aren't always there to be able to do the things mm-hmm. that one would need to be doing to plan a wedding.
Yeah.
So
she got and starts heading up to Napa with them and
Fran, like, oh, you know, Eddie, it's occurred to me we haven't picked a song for our wedding. So I bought this wedding song, like I bought this wedding like compilation. So I thought maybe, you know, play it and see if something jumps out at us. Like, okay, great. It's in the CD. First couple of songs, it's okay.
Steve is into all of them. He's like, that's groovy. That's good. I can just, it's such a Matthew McConaughey.
It's so McConaughey.
That's groovy. Yeah. But he does it like without a deep accent. Like he's accented.
There is still enough of that,
yeah.
Of that Texas twang.
Yeah. But then
I Honestly Love You by Olivia Newton-John comes on.
And that's what they pick.
Fran is like, oh, I love this song. And like, and they start singing it to each other. And like, did we find our song? And Mary is just kind of in
Mary
the background.
Unintentionally makes like a noise, kind of mm-hmm. like eye roll.
Oh, yeah.
And Fran's like, wait, what? Is that a bad song? Is that not a good song? And she's like, no, no, no. It's great. It's great. And her head, you can just see the it figures in her head.
Yes.
Like going. But then we get to Napa.
Oh, Fran asks.
Oh, yeah, that's
one of my,
yeah,
this is
quote.
One of my favorite moments in the movie. Because Fran, you know, like, because they have this drive to Napa. And Fran, like, turns around, you know, to the back seat and asks her. She's like, so, tell me about the guy. And, like, the guy, like, you know, I saw you 3 days later. You still had stars in your eyes. Like,
what
you
happened?
Know, what happened with this guy? And all of a sudden, Steve is very attentive.
And he like swerved on the traffic.
Yes, like I love, like, you know, Mary, because Mary says, well, you know, like it just didn't work out. Like, how is that possible? Oh, well, you know, it turns out, you know, that he was the groom in one of the weddings I was planning. And Steve just like nearly swerves into oncoming traffic, like swirls back. And like, the way that it just cracks me up because it's such a 2000s thing. The way that Fran is like sitting in her seat and like she's barely buckled in. She just kind of get like she's just like sprawled like akimbo, like trying to catch herself after he's like swerved the car. And she's like, Eddie, and he's like, there was a dead deer in the road, honey. Did you see that?
She said, there was a deer back there. Damn deer. Yeah,
that moment cracks me up because it reminds me so much of this one tiny little moment in the movie Christmas Vacation. Oh. Because like they have some people who are like riding their bumper and trying to pass them, and as they pass, Clark just goes, hey look, kids, a deer, and everybody turns and looks out the window and he flips everybody off. It's just, I don't know why, it's just all of a sudden that moment of just like, oh my god, a deer, and it makes me think of it every time.
It's great.
But oh yeah, there was a dead deer in the road, did you see that? Like, it makes me laugh every time.
And so
I think that makes me laugh harder than some of the things that are supposed to intentionally be funny in this movie. Because there are definitely some things that are supposed to be intentionally funny that I'm like, eh, whatever. With this one.
Well, anyway, so they get to Napa, or to the particular vineyard in Napa that they were talking about.
Yes.
And as they're getting ready to tour, we hear a yell. Maddie
Fiore.
Massimo has showed up, and he introduces himself as Mary's fiance.
Yep.
To which Steve gets the smuggest, like, he needs to be punched.
The biggest shit-eating grin.
He needs to be punched.
Oh, he does.
Also, Mary should have spoken up and fixed this immediately. But she's trying to, like, keep her cool and keep professionalism. That,
I was going to say, and because they are walking with somebody who works at the vineyard and, like, sort of, like, the event coordinator at the vineyard. And so this is somebody, like, that Mary
works with.
Yeah, this, you know, this event coordinator is very much, you know, he's excited for. And so I can see, like, her having to save face,
like, how
in the
do I
moment
get out of this?
Because this is Mary's, like, she has to control every situation that she's in.
Yeah.
And if she throws this grenade of, you know, like, he's not my fiance, like, I barely know this man, I want nothing to do with him, like, she, you know, she can't be certain how Massimo is going to react. Like, it's going to cause a scene.
Yeah.
She has to keep everything maintained, like, very tightly controlled.
Yep.
So, of course,
it's a crisis. She's managing.
So she rolls with it.
And Steve is super smug and she can't correct him because there's too many other people around.
Yep.
So meanwhile, and so, like, they're going to go start the tour, and Massimo's like, no, the planning is, like, woman's work. Me and Steve will go do the manly bonding. Me and Eddie will go do the manly bonding. And so, and it's like, yeah. Steve's like, yeah, let's go. That sounds great. Because he wants to take advantage of the fact that, also, he wants to see how Massimo got her, and, like, he's very much, like, the jealous lover at that moment.
He wants to size up
the competition.
The competition, yeah.
And so they do. They go do the manly bonding, and, well, Massimo's way fitter than him.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. Like, that part makes me laugh every time. Like, Massimo starts jogging.
Well, yeah, it starts off, you know, like, they're on the treadmill, and Massimo is running faster and faster, and, like, within seconds, he is at, like, a dead run, and Steve is still just kind of jogging. And then cut to a few minutes later, Steve is now dead running, and, like, he is pouring sweat, and Massimo, like, is barely even, like, breathing hard.
Yeah.
And, like, that to the chin-ups. Like, how many have you done? 65. Like, what? How many was that? 65. Oh, yeah, me too.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, same. And, like, which, I'm like, that stuff, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever.
See, I laughed at
I
laughed at it for what it led into, which is them fighting.
What I was going to say, the stuff in the gym, like, does not interest me at all. It's when, like, they come bursting across the yard, like, wrestling each other, and then Massimo just flat out fucking tackles Steve.
Yep.
That is funny.
But you need the first scene to lead into this scene, or it's not as funny.
True.
If you don't know the whole, like, backstory of why would Steve be willing to go out there, like, and wrestle this guy.
I will admit that.
I love that part. So then we go, they decide they're not going to have the wedding here because someone else has already had it here. Someone that they don't want to follow in their footsteps, dad doesn't. But so they still go horseback riding.
Mm-hmm.
And during a conversation with Fran, And mom singing causes the horse to panic.
Well, before the horse panics, Fran and Mary are just kind of having a little chat while they horseback ride. And Fran tells Mary that she's thinking about starting a nonprofit pediatric foundation, and she wants Steve to run it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Mary's like, you know, oh, like he's going to give up his patients. And, you know, she's kind of surprised by that.
I didn't think he'd want to do that.
Yeah, like, I didn't think he'd want to do that. And what Fran tells her is he has a hard time leaving people behind, always doing the right thing.
Yeah, he always does the right thing.
I will say, this movie, I had not given it enough credit for the foreshadowing that it does.
Yeah.
Because I was like, rewatching, like this time, I was like, I had never paid attention to that line before.
There are a couple of big, big things toward the end that I was really impressed with that I'd forgotten.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so the horse panics, and Massimo goes to get help, but Steve saves the day because he is the romantic lead.
Steve once again saves the day.
And I love that. I love how protective, like she and Fran, they may be client and wedding planner, but they have formed like a pretty decent friendship too.
Yes.
Because Fran is like, okay, Eddie, you are riding with her back. That is it. You're not letting her out of your sight.
Yes.
Like, and even her parents are very protective of Mary. They're like, yeah, no, Eddie, you're staying with her. Like this is, we cannot let anything happen to her. I was like, I really appreciate that. Cause like, that is not the way they had to behave.
This is true.
Like for people who are the nouveau riche or whatever, mm-hmm. I really, really dig these people. Like, yes, mother is drunk off her butt. 99%
of this movie. I love when they get to the vineyard, they are already a little bit tipsy
because they're late.
They're late. It's like, Mom, look where we're. He's like, oh, we saw like four of the most charming vineyards on the way up here. They're just right by the roadside, and we just had to stop, and it was all you could drink. I loved it so fucking much. And like Joanna Gleason is just mwah. I love her. But why, like what after the dramatic rescue happens, we have basically like Mary's on the horse and Steve is walking in front, like leading it. And they kind of start having it out over him basically. I can't remember what it is that he says, but her response to it is like, well, you don't have to be so smug about it.
Cause she thanks him and he goes, no problem.
Okay. That's what it was. And so, you know, basically like he just kind of turns on her and he tells her, and he's like, you know, like you say all these things to me the night about, you know, like me not telling you, you know, who I was and everything's like, but like, and then you come here, like, and you have a fiance and you have the nerve to call me smug. And she just kind of has to sit there and take it.
Yeah. See, this for me would have been the moment to tell him because no one else is around.
Yeah.
But she tells him eventually, but it's not for a while.
Well, and so like to get back at him, you know, that's when she, you know, like she tells him how all of their wedding plans point to a doomed marriage, how Fran has picked teal for her bridesmaids, you know, teal, the color of gangrene. And
which my sister would have a problem with, by the way.
Oh, I know. You know, that color. And, you know, and, you know, and I honestly love you by Olivia Newton-John, you know, like, you know, she's like, I can tell like down to the week, how long a couple is going to last. And you and Fran are just basically headed like straight for divorce kind of thing. And like, there were a couple of other things that she threw in. Those were the two that I remember from my head. And like, they have this like continued back and forth, but eventually, what he tells her is, and like, I wrote this down. I wrote down the quote. Steve says, he's like, I was attracted to you. He's like, maybe I was a little insecure about the marriage thing. Like, maybe I was just being a guy and the opportunity presented itself. But bottom line, I never thought I'd see you again. Bottom line, nothing happened. Bottom line, I believe now more than ever that Fran is right for me. And I would say, based on the evidence, that your theories on love sound more like the rantings of a bitter and cynical woman.
I'm going to say, Steve, there are some really good speeches in this movie.
Yes.
Like, my favorite ones are later, but that's another really good one. Like, is he right? Not exactly. Mm-hmm. But he's also right in the fact that nothing did happen. Yeah, almost happened.
Mm-hmm.
And there were definitely emotional engagement. And he should have told her he was engaged. Absolutely. He was, like I said, he's a good guy who did one thing wrong. And mm-hmm. that one thing was not tell Mary he was engaged.
Yeah.
And that just kind of snowballed for him. it sucks that that's what happened too. But yeah, so.
But that's about the end of the Napa trip. Like we see them driving back.
We see
them driving back and Massimo following on his Vespa.
But the window of the limo and her parents are in his rolled down. And you see like her parents feeding each other grapes.
I'm telling you, it's so good. Like
that part alone, I
want to know how much fun Joanna Gleason and the actor who plays the father, like how much fun they had on this movie. Like I just want to know. But then by the next thing we see is like Mary, like she's home, just kind of like she's in bed.
She's asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. She's asleep. It's basically like she walked in like fully clothed and just like fell backwards onto the bed and fell asleep.
Yeah.
Because, like, she wakes up to, like, her dad measuring her for a wedding dress.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's her, like, Massimo said, you announced your engagement and all of these things. And
Bert comes in making bagels, toasting bagels.
Yeah. And, and they, you know, they kind of have, one, like, you know, dad basically is like, it's like, oh, you know, you've announced your engagement. It's like, oh, finally we can get rid of this old thing. And he goes to throw out, you know, Mary's mother's wedding dress. And like, she stops him and, you know, and is like, no, dad. And they finally sit down and like, they have a heart to heart. And that's when you learn, you know, he tells Mary that he and her mother had an arranged marriage.
They did not love each other. He loved someone else at the beginning of the marriage.
Yeah, and that they did not meet until their wedding day.
Yeah.
And that, you know, she thought that he had, what was it, like a big mouth and a low IQ or something like that.
Yeah.
And
a big nose and a low IQ.
There we go, big nose and a low IQ. And, you know, and he was in love with somebody else and, you know, but they went along with it. And, you know, he tells us, like, and that's just kind of, like, how things were is, like, until he got scarlet fever. And I don't know why. This is a scene that I love very much. Because he says, you know, like, he got sick with scarlet fever. It's like, and her mother took care of him. And it was unexpected to him, you know, like it, because like he, you know, he and his wife, they sort of like, they nothinged each other,
yeah.
But then he gets sick and she takes care of him. But he tells Mary, and that was the first time that I appreciated her. Then appreciation grew to respect, respect grew to like, then like grew to love, a deeper love than I could ever hope for. It's like, so give Massimo a chance. Maybe you don't like him now, but maybe you might love him later.
That's kind of where we leave that scene. And we see her once again, we see Mary with Fran and Steve, and they have finally found the venue.
They're
married in the Golden Gate Park.
Yes. In the Golden Gate Park. And Steve isn't so sure. Like he, you know, but we learn later, he's not really one for the big weddings. He would just want something small.
Yeah.
But, you know, but Fran is just like, oh, you know, like, I love it. We'll take it.
And they don't have to make the guest list smaller. And
yeah, they won't have to cut the guest list. And so he caves.
And she says, great, you guys, Fran says, great, it'll be easy for you guys to plan while I'm away next week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, because Fran has to go out of town.
We're in the middle of your wedding, which is getting very close. And you, okay. Okay, you're going to leave. Okay.
Yep. So Fran is going to be leaving Steve and Mary to the arrangement making.
And they go statue shopping.
This is the
scene that I remember the most.
This is the one I'm like, I could do without this.
Yeah, there's a whole gag. The gag I can do without. The conversation that happens after is very important.
Yes.
So yeah, there's a gag where he gets a stone penis glued to his hand. Over.
They knock over a statue. The penis breaks off. Mary has super glue. Like, here, I can fix this.
But while she's,
and it gets super glued to his hand.
But while she's removing it, because she has everything in her purse, her world is in her purse.
Yes.
She's removing it, and they have this conversation where they both apologize for being assholes.
Yes.
Like, he's like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called you that. I shouldn't have said you were cynical and bitter. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said those things about your wedding. Your marriage is going to be great. I'm sure it'll be fantastic. And so they come to this good place. And then they end up talking about, he goes, you, Massimo, will probably be very happy too. And she's like, oh, we're not engaged anymore. That's not a thing. That was really just for my dad. And he's like, oh. And like, but like, they have this like really good moment. Like, they're leaving it in a good place.
Yeah, they've come to an understanding.
Yeah.
And so from here, like, we get her with Massimo.
Yeah. So she goes to see her dad, and Massimo is living with her dad, apparently. And he makes her American mac and cheese.
Yes.
That's so cute. And they have this conversation, and you come to realize that Massimo remembers her mother. Mm-hmm. And she did not anticipate that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was one summer when she was really small, and how could Massimo remember that? And Massimo describes her mom and says, you know, you have the same smile, and... you know, she didn't have a nail on her pinky finger. I don't remember why. And she's like, well, a brick fell on it. So she's wow, you remembered all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these great conversations.
Yeah.
This great conversation.
I because what it is, and he's telling, like, he has told her, he's like, you know, look, I will stop pursuing you. I just want us to have, like as he says, like, I just want us to, like, to be buddy-buddy friends.
Yeah. Buddy-buddy friends.
Yeah, like, he just wants them to be friends. And so, you know, when they sit down to have the Kraft instant mac and cheese, he's, like, he can tell that something is wrong, and he's trying to get her to, he's trying to get her just to talk to him. And, you know, to finally, like, just for them to be open with one another. And finally, like, she tells him, and this is one of those, like, very telling, like, foreshadowing lines. She tells him, I thought I could control everything, and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And during the course, you know, of this conversation, I didn't get down everything he tells her, but the crux of it is, like, basically she tells him, you know, that kind of, like, she has feelings.
There's someone she wants.
Yeah, there's someone that she wants.
That she can't have.
Yeah, that she can't have.
And, well, the line is so good.
And, yeah, and he tells her, and he's like, oh, you know, I understand. He's like, you long for him like I long for you.
And, like, Justin Chambers, like...
he's a puppy dog.
It's so good in this. Yeah, like, oh.
And, but kind of, like, at the end, you know, he tells her, he's like, you need to learn patience. Love can't always be perfect. Love is just love. Which was something her mom used to say, apparently.
I said, well, your mother was a wise woman.
Was a very wise woman. From here, we get the flowers.
And we meet Keith and Wendy.
Yep.
And we find out, like, because Steve is with her at the flower. They're picking out their flowers. That part's really fun, bantery.
Yeah.
Like, he picks out a flower, and she's like, yeah, that's a traditional Tibetan funeral flower. And he's like, oh, great. Let's get some Slash My Wrist Susans and call it a day.
Yeah.
He's like, I should never be allowed to do this.
Right.
So as they're picking, she begins to hide because she sees
somebody. Keith. Yeah. She sees Keith.
And he's with a pregnant woman.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
She tries to duck. It doesn't work. And they see her anyway, and so Steve helps her cover, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Very, but, very awkward moment, and so Steve is basically like, oh, well, how do you all know each other? And they're all like, oh, you know, we go way back, and Mary goes, oh, let me do it. Yeah, yeah. Let me tell it. And basically it was that, you know, Keith and Mary were engaged, and Wendy was his high school girlfriend. Like, and then on the night of their rehearsal dinner, like, she found them making out in her car.
Yeah.
And she's like, so I think that about covers it, don't you?
Yeah. And they break. And she has every right to still be angry about that. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's been 10, 15, 20 years. That's still not okay.
Yeah. It's like the night before your wedding.
Yeah.
Like, so... yeah, so, but, and then just this immediately, like, smash cut to drunk Mary.
Yeah, and Steve takes such good care of her.
Oh, he does.
Like, he's trying to, like, open her apartment door because she can't remember which key is the right key.
I appreciate the comedy of just the immediate, like, smash cut to drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of me, I'm like, I want to see the lead up to this. Like, yeah. I want to see her getting drunk. Because I'm like, you know, I'm like, is she a lightweight? Did it take just like a shot of tequila and this is it? Like, were they bar hopping? What is going on? I need this information. it's just that storyteller in me. I'm like, she's walking around with like a 4-pack of Heineken. I'm like, were there more? I'm like, obviously you stopped at a liquor store.
Yeah. Like, and she drank it.
I'm like, I need to know more. But
Steve gets her inside, settled on the couch. They roast marshmallows over a candle.
Okay. That's another one of these little, like, just these little details. I'm like, okay, this wasn't just you got her inside. Like, it wasn't just that you got her comfortable into a place where she's not going to just, like, pass out and, like, throw up and, like, aspirate and die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking care of her to this point. You have taken the time to light these candles in this apartment, to find a wire hanger and make, like, make a kebab out of it and, like, sit here and roast marshmallows. Like, this has taken some time.
Because mm-hmm. he doesn't want to leave her alone. Like,
yeah.
It's back to that, once again, they've told us and now they're showing us, Steve does the right thing.
Yes.
Like, Steve takes care of people that need to be taken care of.
Yes.
I love that whole thing. And then the conversation that happens afterward just breaks my heart.
And Mary is still, you know, very much just lamenting, you know, what went wrong with her, like, with her and Keith. And, you know, just realizing that kind of, in the back of her mind, like, she kind of always thought that maybe there was something, is like, because, you know, saying that, you know, Wendy, you know, she threw my bridal shower for me. It's like, and she took the time to freeze mint leaves and raspberries
in the, yeah.
And she's like, and I should have known then that, you know, that something was,
cause I was just a stand in.
Yeah. It's like, I was a stand in. I was a poor man's Wendy.
And then they talk a little bit longer. And finally he goes, Wendy, she's nothing but a poor man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay, hold on. The lead-in is, you know, she talks about it a little bit more, and Mary says, you know, she realizes, she says, like, I know it's a good thing that I didn't marry him, but most of the time I just think that I wasn't enough. And that's when he just very softly and very quietly just like, no, you're wrong. It's like, you're not, it's like, you're, sorry. Just telling her just very quietly, like, no, you're wrong, Wendy. She's nothing but a poor man's Mary.
And
this was something I was going to bring. And, like, we have talked about it. Like, we've mentioned it in other podcasts. It's at this point, I get some very, very strong I Should Go by Levi Christ vibes.
Yes. And he does.
Which, I there's a part of me, like, I want to tell you, just, like, tack that song on the end of this episode.
I could do that.
Because, like, we've brought it up several times.
Yeah, it's a great song, and that's definitely what's happening. Like,
yeah.
And he does get up, and
Specifically because there's a line in that song of, you know, because I don't want you to question the intentions that I have, I should go.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just kept thinking of that the entire time watching this scene, but he does leave, mm-hmm. And he's lingering at the door, and he tells her, you know, like, okay, you know, 2 aspirin, lot of water. Beer in the morning, that's the cure.
Doctor's orders.
You know, doctor's orders. And she's like, you know, just like, okay. And he still kind of lingers for a second, and then, you know,
he leaves,
and she closes the door. And
Not even a minute later,
there's
a knock.
There's a knock, and he's returned.
I have the whole thing.
Oh, I do too.
Okay. You're good.
But yeah, like I took the time to write it down. But he immediately starts in, like, as soon as she opens the door again, he says, do you ever think about that night in the park? And she's a little,
she says, what?
Like, kind of taken back. And he tells her, like, I barely know you. I don't know your dad's first name or if you wore braces or contacts or glasses. And I have no idea how you came to be a wedding planner, but I know the curves of your face. And I know every fleck of gold in your eyes. And I know that night in the park was the best time I ever had. Please say something.
It's the best speech in this movie.
It absolutely is the best speech in this movie.
There's another one later that I like too, but yeah.
It's just from that line of, but I know the curves of your face.
And it's the delivery. Like,
yes.
He goes so soft. He's like, but I know the curves of your face. And I, like, I paused it there and was just like,
it's because it is so soft. Like, it's not just soft. Like, it is tender, and, like, there is an openness.
Yes.
There is a vulnerability to it. That, like, this is a man who is like, he has opened his chest and put his heart on display.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done so deftly.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like a moment that, you know, I, like, you know, I joke a lot about McConaughey. It's like, but, you know, I would give him this moment.
This moment has a lot of heart. Yeah.
This moment has a lot of heart, and, like, he delivers it perfectly. Because, like, you know, maybe in the hands of somebody else, maybe, like, a different director, a different actor, it could have been, you know, it could have been, like, you know, Hallmark ham-fisted.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, but this is, it's just, it's so exquisitely done. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, like, surgically accurate.
Well, and her response to him, I love just as much.
Yeah. I love when he says, please say something. The first thing she says is, I'm a magnet for unavailable men,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, like, there's some more in there that she says. I didn't get all of that.
It's simple. I love Fran. I respect her, and she loves you. So besides your tux measurements, that's all I need to know. And then she waits a beat.
Please go away.
Yeah. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh. Like, the whole, like, even her delivery of that is, like, yes. I love Fran. I'm not going to do this to Fran. She loves you. I'm not doing this to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, and
my client. But also, she does, at this point, care about Fran. And, she's heard Fran talk about how much she loves him and how much, like, this is all going to be, you know, whatever. And so she's...
Well, and also... Mary having known that feeling.
Yeah. Of, she's not going to be that.
She's not going to do mm-hmm. that to another bride.
Yep.
And so we leave it at that. And it's.
She closes the door and leans against it, locks it and leans against it.
Yeah.
And then goes on.
And it's. Yeah. There's just something so, like, deeply poignant about the whole, mm-hmm. about the whole conversation. It's. Yeah. Oh man. I love it a lot. But she goes into the office the next morning and Fran is there.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that Fran is saying, Mary is basically like, oh shit, we're found out.
Yeah.
But Fran's got cold feet.
She's just having some nerves.
Yeah. She's having nerves.
It's like, what are we going to do? Is he going to be the last man I'm going to sleep with? Is, you know, we were together in college, but, and honestly, actually, this is the foreshadowing for what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, some of the stuff she says is stuff Steve asks later too.
Yes.
And Mary does her job because she's professional.
And she gives Fran the speech that she was giving the bride at the start of the movie.
And he actually did say what she says he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't believe she chose me.
Mm-hmm.
Which he did say, but it was a little bit less sweet than that, but it was sweet. It was just not as...
Basically the way that he phrased it was that it was when they were buying flowers and
she asked how they met.
She asked how they met and, you know, and he tells her that he met, like, Fran was a bookie when they were in college and how she had done had basically, like, gotten, like, to, you know, to the point of, like, having, like, a Vegas night, like, with her sorority and, you know, and all this, like, she was running numbers mm-hmm. and she was so good at it and how they just kind of,
she was the wild child and he was the bookworm and she chose him.
Yeah.
And he couldn't believe it that she chose him. And so, yeah, so she does give the, Mary gives the speech.
She gives her canned speech, but this time the delivery of it, it's heartbreaking.
Oh yeah.
And I'm giving J-Lo some props.
Oh yeah.
For the delivery of that. Cause it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Like hearing her like give this speech again.
And then we go to Bert's birthday party.
Yep.
Cause they're having it at Dad's apartment and Massimo makes a speech and he goes, I know it's Bert's birthday, but I have something for Mary, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings out a dollhouse he made her. And I don't know if you got this speech down, but I did too. So yeah, go ahead.
He brings out this dollhouse and we just see the front of it and he kind of spins it around so that you see the inside and sitting in one of the bedrooms of the dollhouse is an open ring box there. And Massimo.
But in the dollhouse above the fireplace is her mom's picture.
Yeah, picture
which
of her
is
mom.
Just really sweet. I couldn't help it. Like, I was like, that is this. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. But Massimo, he tells her, he's like, Mary, I know I've never done the right thing or say the right thing, and I act like a fool. I know I say we just be buddy-buddy friends, but I would not be true to my heart. So I will ask you this one question, and if your answer is no, then I will leave you alone once and for all. Be my wife, Mary Fiore, and I will take care of you and be true to you. and like this house I built for your dolls, I will make sure you have a strong roof over your head. If your answer is yes, then no one will ever love you as much as I love you. If your answer is yes, you will make me the happiest man on earth. And this is a thing I didn't appreciate it as much now.
Mm-hmm.
But way back when watching this movie, I was just like, I don't know why, but the whole thing of her spelling out okay on the Scrabble board and like turning it around to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I used to love that. For some reason, that was just a detail that like I flipped over before. Now it was like, eh, well, it's fine.
I like it because it's not an enthusiastic yes.
Yeah.
It's a, okay. Like,
yeah.
Like love isn't a fairy tale. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do
it. And I just, like, he immediately just like sweeps her up into this hug. And kind of like he kisses her cheek and then kind of like kisses her neck. And it's just like, she's not unhappy, but she's not happy either.
Yeah.
And the look on her face is like, it's 1,000 words.
She likes Massimo.
Yeah.
She can respect Massimo.
Yeah.
And maybe someday, like her dad said, she'll grow to love him.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a montage of everything being prepped.
Yes.
You have Steve getting a tux. Her dad is making Massimo a suit.
Yes.
The wedding is being prepped.
Mary signs the partnership.
Mary becomes a partner. Yeah.
Signs the paperwork.
And then it's the day of the wedding.
Yes, the day of Steve and Fran's wedding. It has arrived. And I was about to say Fran. Mary hands the commission over to Penny.
Yep. And she gives the commission to Penny. And then she's like, I have somewhere I have to be. But Steve has seen her and is like, longing looks.
Yeah.
So while that's happening, while she's doing that, Steve goes to see Fran. Because, like, Mary has taken her leave with Fran. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, you're going to be great. She doesn't actually tell them she's leaving.
Yeah.
But she's like, you know, you're going to be great. It's going to be good. It's fantastic. But so Steve comes to see Fran and says, let's go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And Fran's like, but we're about to get married. What do you mean, let's go for a walk? He's like, we need to talk. Let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
And I appreciate this scene more now than I ever did growing up.
There's
an adult.
Yes.
Adult maturity to it.
I was going
to
say, it's not necessarily my favorite, like, mature breakup scene because, well, Guernsey gets that one.
Yes.
But this one is definitely second.
Because it's not leaving at the altar, which is the thing we talk about hating.
Yes.
Yes, it's the day of the wedding. Yes, she's in her wedding dress.
And it's because, like, they both come to the realization. And it's just, like, I love the moment of, I love the tone in his voice when they are standing there and he is holding her hands and he says, why do you want to marry me? And she takes a beat and then she's just like, are you kidding me?
Like, you're going to leave me today, now? Like, she starts to freak out.
And
he just brings her back in, calms her,
like,
back down.
And I love, like, he tells her, it's like, you know, like, if you can tell me, like, if you can answer my questions, like, and tell me, you know, like, because the reasons that we, you know, the reasons we were together in college, they don't hold up now. It's like, if you can, mm-hmm. like, if you can answer my question, he's like, I will put on this cummerbund and we will walk.
Tell me you love me and I will go up there.
Yeah, tell you love me and, like, I will go up there. And she just kind of freezes and she's like, you would do that? And he's like, yes. He's like, but basically it's like, I need an answer.
I need an answer. I need to know that you are in love with me as Mary thinks, essentially.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that, but that's.
Yeah.
And
she just no.
She's like, give me a minute.
Yeah.
And then she realizes, you're right. I don't even want to get married. Like, there's this great shot of them sitting on the bench together. She's like, what do we do now? And he's like, whatever we want. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, this is being intercut with Mary putting on her mom's wedding dress and mm-hmm. going to the courthouse. And the shots there are really great, too,
yes.
by the way. Like, so the shots in this movie impressed me in a way I didn't expect.
Shankman is good.
But it's his first big movie.
I know.
That's what I was like. I was a little bit like, wow. But yeah, so that's being all intercut. And then you see Ed or Steve putting Fran in the car, and mm-hmm. he calls her Franny, but I love he puts her in the car and like this big like white dress,
just her the bottom, like her
tulle all around her dress.
Yeah, it's just
the poofiness.
Yeah, it's just like the bell of her dress is so huge. Voluminous, like it fills the entire backseat of this cab.
And he puts her in the backseat of the cab and says goodbye. And she's driving away, and poor Penny is like, was that the bride? Is she coming back? What's going to happen? Mary leaves me in charge for one day, and I lose the bride. Like she
Penny
is,
just immediately freaks out.
And he's like, Penny, what do you mean Mary left? What do you mean? She went to the courthouse to get married. She did what?
Like, Mary's getting married. Yes, Mary's getting married. You know, the thing you're supposed to be doing? And
we get the rom-com chase.
Yeah, and the rom-com chase
with
is
the
off.
Same cabbie who hit the
dumpster yay, and started full this circle. All. Yeah. Yes. Which that was in the trivia. Like when I was looking, like that was in the trivia, and I was like, well, fucking duh. It's just like, why? Who doesn't notice
and then,
that?
Of course they get caught in traffic, so we have to rom-com run.
Yes.
And I love that. That's great. But meanwhile, everyone has objected. Well, the three other people have objected to the wedding.
Oh my God. Like, I love that. Yeah. The justice of the peace, like yep. The judge is basically, you know, like, you know, if anybody here has just cause why these two should not be joined together, you know, speak now, forever hold your peace moment. And Mary is just staring straight forward, like very serenely.
Pleasant smile on her face.
And I cannot remember the woman, the old woman.
I can't either, but.
The old woman who's a friend of her dad's, she's like, she's like hemming and hawing and like wants to speak up. And you see Bert looks a little bit twitchy.
Like he's side-eyeing.
And then you just see Salvatore,
her dad.
Mary's dad, just find, like, you know, the judge is like, okay, and like ready to move on, and he's just like, Salvatore's just like, nope, I can't. And then finally, like, the old woman is just like, oh my God, and it's like, yeah, like I was gonna say something, and then Bert is just like, oh hell, I object too.
Yeah.
And like Mary's just like, what are you all doing?
And she takes her dad aside, and her dad says, you know, I want you to be happy, and you have the whole speech.
I do not have.
So they have this whole talk, and she basically tells dad, I realize now love isn't a fairy tale, and I've been fooling myself all along, and Massimo's a good man.
Yeah.
And he'll take care of me, and we'll be good together, and it'll be great, or it'll be good. And she goes back to do the ceremony, and then we, you know, cut back to like the rom-com run as Steve runs up
to the courthouse.
You see Massimo and
everybody but Mary.
And you find out Massimo did not want to marry her because Steve is the one. And Massimo knows she wasn't in love with him.
Yeah.
And he wants her to be happy because he cannot stand in the way of Mary's happiness because he loves her so much. And that is a real man. Like, I love Massimo. I've always loved Massimo. I'd forgotten how much I loved him. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he was unwilling, like, he has everything he wants, everything he has dreamed of. But he is unwilling to marry someone who he knows loves someone else. Yeah. He's not her one. And granted, I do think he got over it fairly quickly.
Yes.
But there is something to it with him and Mary. Like, there was a history and an affection, and it could have grown into a really beautiful marriage. But that's not what it is. So Massimo tells him, get on the bike, I'll take you to her.
Because it's a whole, like, who's on first conversation that's going on with everybody, like... You know, like, you know, he's the doctor. He's the group. Like, what? Just everybody, like,
and,
yelling.
Well, and
over
Salvatore, him. And Salvatore's the only one who's never met him. Because, like, Bert knows him. I guess the old lady hasn't met him either.
Yeah.
But Bert knows him. He's like, you're the doctor from the movies. And he's like, oh, he's Eddie. Or I think he calls him Eddie.
I don't remember.
Or maybe he says Steve. He's Steve, you're the one. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, he's Steve. You know, she was planning his wedding or whatever. And
and finally, you know, Salvatore finally just, like, just yells and, like, cuts through all the noise. And is like, it's like, wait. She is in love with you. Like, yeah, like, and you're in love with her. It's like, yes, very, very much so, sir. And it's like, and neither one of you got married today. Then what are we doing still standing here?
Why are we still talking? Go!
Yeah, like, go.
So Massimo takes him across the city back to the movie, to where the movie is being shown, a different movie is being shown, and she's throwing the M&Ms.
Yeah, I love, like, because he comes up from behind, and she's dumping out, you know, she's pouring M&Ms into her hand in any color that isn't brown. She's, like, tossing it over her shoulder, and I've never noticed before that, like, she throws one, and it hits him, and he kind of catches it and just looks at it for a second, and then, like, when he approaches her, he's, like, you know, like, asks, like, what she's doing, and she
tells him that
someone once told me that
that there's less food coloring.
Yeah, that the chocolate ones have less artificial coloring because chocolate is already brown, and it kind of stayed with me. And he takes a moment and he just says, well, you kind of stayed with me. And she asks, you know, like, I love that one of the first things she asks, like, you know, what happened with Fran? And, you know, and he tells her that, you know, well, she needs to find her own life. And
because her big thing was, why didn't you marry Fran? Like, if you broke him up with her for me, like, that's going to be like, she doesn't say it, but you can see the fear.
It's implied. Yeah.
That she's left, and, that he's left Fran.
And he's, you know, and he tells her, it's like, you know, she needs to find her own life.
She's in Tahiti because she needs to figure herself out.
Yeah. She's in Tahiti on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
And, you know, by herself, and she needs to find her own life. And he says, you know, but right now it's like, I want to dance with you. And so that's where, like, we get the dance that was interrupted at the start, and finally the kiss, and
the end.
Yeah, end credits.
And I really, really liked this movie. Like, I had forgotten how much I liked it, genuinely.
Yeah.
I found it genuinely charming.
Oh, and, yeah. And it's very charming. And like, I definitely appreciated things that I didn't always appreciate before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, there were a couple of little things that didn't hold up as well for me. Just how incredibly stereotypical, like Massimo is.
Yes.
That it's like, I'm glad that at least some portions of cinema, like, were moving away from that.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, this was nearly 20 years ago.
But as stereotypical as Massimo was, he also had this underlying heart that I didn't anticipate. Like, cause I remember him being really stereotypical and I was really worried about that. But then, like, the scene with the mac and cheese and the proposal scene, they both bring this heart and this depth to Massimo.
Yeah. So. I'm trying to remember. There were a couple of other things that I kind of, like, niggled at, like, but I can't
remember what they were.
Like, it's been a very long day.
Well, do you think that Mary and Steve stay together?
I don't know why Mary and Steve stay together. I think they have a shot.
I think it's possible. Because it's like Penny says, at least thank the bastard for opening you back up.
Yeah.
Like, at the very least, he did that.
Yeah. Because, like I said, it cannot be understated how controlling she is.
And she's got to learn to leave that up, and he's got to learn, like there's a lot of stuff that has to be learned. Like, we could have a wedding planner too and see.
Well, you mentioning that. Remember, like, didn't you, you texted me an article a while ago, and I meant to look for it, like, go through.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Through all of our text messages and find it. But you had sent me a link to an article that apparently, like, the wedding planner, there was supposed to be, like, another movie. Or, like, potentially, like, a series, that there was supposed to be more to it.
I think so, yeah. But, like, it just didn't happen for one of these or another.
Yeah, it just didn't happen.
Like, I'm going to say this, it sounds really weird. I see, like, Hallmark can make some sequels, and I'd be down for it. Like,
sure.
I'd be down for the Hallmark Mary and Steve finding out what happens. Because basically that happened in a movie. It's called The Wedding Dress. It's a really similar movie. I think it's called The first one's called something else. But it stars Kevin Smith, and
I
just watched it with my mom. His bride is taking this woman's wedding fitness class, which she was also a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just as much about your inside as your outside, and she does exercise, but also teaches you trust, and like, each class is about a different aspect of trusting in marriage and stuff like that. And she was left at the altar too. I didn't remember that till just now.
Oh my God.
And they wind up getting together at the end of the movie. Cause there's a lot of stuff with him and his.
Yeah.
His
girl. Yeah.
It's not a horrible, like, bad thing, but they just don't, like, he winds up with the gym person. Cause he's a photographer, a wedding photographer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember
bits and pieces.
Like, she encourages him to follow his art. Cause that's what his dream is. And
yeah.
The other girl, like, his fiance, meanwhile, is not super, like, into that. She wants him to quit and join daddy's firm and that kind of thing. So the sequel is she's planning her wedding. Like, they're planning their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
His art exhibition is opening the same weekend just because of how stuff worked out.
Yeah.
And she is also buying the business, the gym that she has from the guy who owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are happening on the same week.
Yeah. And I remember this.
It's actually a pretty fun movie, but, like, their wedding is the thing that ends up taking the back burner the most. And it's like that, like, I could see a wedding planner sequel being something of
something
that
like
nature.
That. Yeah.
Like, he proposes to her and then they don't have time to plan the wedding because he's a pediatric doctor. He's busy.
Yeah.
And she's a wedding planner. She's also busy. So, like, I could see that being a really cool mm-hmm. thing. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think just because of the way that these movies are, I'm like, sure, I could get
I don't see any together. Big obstacle to them saying together. Yeah. I'll put it that way. So what did you rate this movie?
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
See, I'm going to go 4. I found it very charming. It was just what I needed today.
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be because it, like, I'm just stressed with work.
Yeah, well, and we have yeah. different, like, for me, the Mossimo stuff, as much as I hate it, it also doesn't really detract from the movie from me. Mm-hmm. It was 2001. That's, yeah, it sucks. And I wish they'd gotten a real Italian to actually play someone Italian in this movie. But, like, if they had someone actually Italian who had struggled with language, or not struggled, but could speak yeah. the language fluently, but, you know, it would have been fun. But for me, it was just, I find it very charming, and honestly, when I had to, like, make myself not give it higher than a 4. I'm like, it doesn't need to be higher than a 4. I think I was so pleasantly surprised, because I was yeah. expecting it to not hold up at all.
Yeah,
and it did.
Like, I'm going 3.5 just because, like, it... Like, other, like, this is gonna sound weird, and, like, this is gonna sound terrible, considering, like, we've just spent the last however long, you mm-hmm. know, talking about, like, what a great movie it is. Like, as much as I love it, and, like, there are things that, like, I think are great and move me personally.
Yeah.
I think on the whole, it's a middle of the road rom-com.
Okay.
Like, but, you know, there are things, like, that's why, like, I wasn't going to give it just a straight out 3, because mm-hmm. I think it's more than that. I just, for me, I don't know that it rates a 4.
It's fair.
But, there were definitely things that I appreciated the second time around, mm-hmm. or not the second, but the next time around, whatever.
This time around,
was that, like, I think I got more swept up in, like, in the aesthetic and mm-hmm. the direction of the movie, because I think it was... Possibly, like, realizing that this was Shankman.
Yeah, because I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so that like, caught my attention. And so, like, I was paying more attention to some of, like, the cinematography yeah. and the direction of things.
We're going to cover more Shankman, because Walk to Remember is also Shankman.
Walk to Remember.
Which I always forget. And Hairspray, of course.
Yeah, Hairspray. And-
you were going to say another one?
Oh, no, I was going to it seems like there was another
Those are the one, two but... that I know really well. I've owned Hairspray since it came out. Mm-hmm. I used to own Walk to Remember and then didn't and now do again. It's a whole thing with my husband, which will probably come up when we record that
oh,
episode.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for
but,
that.
But yeah, like this is a director we're gonna talk about again, and so I'm excited to talk about him again, because... Like, Hairspray is the one I've seen the most.
Right.
And the cinematography and the filming of that is actually very different.
Yeah.
Well, because it's very Broadway.
Yeah.
So it's a very different feel. But yeah, this was just so pretty.
Well, and also, like while Hairspray was going on, like, he was also, like, because it can't be, you know, understated, the fact that he isn't, you know, like, he isn't just a director, like, he's also a choreographer.
And the dance scenes are beautifully shot in that movie, too. Like, yes. They're shot great.
Yeah, and so, like, that was how, like, I came to know who he is, because he was a judge and choreographer on So You mm-hmm. Think You Can Dance. And I remember when, because it was when Hairspray was coming out, they had him on, and they had all of the dancers doing... You know, like, doing a number from Hairspray, yeah. and, like, he, you know,
you can't stop the beat.
Yeah, can't stop the beat.
I was like, let me help you.
And he choreographed it, and so, you know, like, that was just kind of how I came to it. Yeah. And I don't know, but watching The Wedding Planner, like I said, I don't know why, just this time, like, I got more drawn mm-hmm. into just some of, like, the cinematography and just the overall direction of the movie. I was just pleasantly surprised with it. And I think I was a little more focused on some of that mm-hmm. and where, you know, some of just because of that, like I said, because I was more focused in other areas, some of the story and, you know, just mm-hmm. a few things here and there were just like, yeah, well, it's okay. Like,
whereas I was the opposite. Like,
yeah,
I kept forgetting this was his freshman directing. I thought the directing was yeah. very, very good, but in such a way that I sometimes forgot about it, because, like, mm-hmm. I thought the chemistry between Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Lopez mm-hmm. swept me away. Like, mm-hmm. I had forgotten how good it was.
I think also part of my problem, like, as much, like, I give them both so mm-hmm. many props. And I think it's incredible. I think I've also just kind of been tainted by, like other rom-coms mm-hmm. that they've done. And so I don't know why, probably because, like, I was scrolling through the internet the other day and I was reminded of Failure to Launch.
And, I think I own that.
And I remember, like, I was forced to go see that one, and did not have a great time. And so, like, I think just, like, I was haunted by the ghosts of other, like, other rom-coms kind of kept floating in. And, like, they're, I don't know. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I had a good time. Some of my reticence is probably just the fact that, like I said, I am super busy with work right now. And so I might just not have been headspace to appreciate it.
Well, I'm not trying to disagree with you.
Oh, no.
I think this is definitely, bar none, my favorite Matthew McConaughey rom-com.
Yes.
I think probably my favorite Jennifer Lopez one, too, because I don't know that I like any other Jennifer Lopez one. But off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, I thought you liked Made in Manhattan.
No, I don't.
Oh, man. Oh, God, I feel so much better because I don't like that one either.
I don't like that movie.
But
I haven't watched it in a really long time, though.
I haven't watched it in a really long time either, and you can totally cut this because I'm sure we'll discuss it, but I want to say it now while I'm remembering it. Made in Manhattan, to me, I'm like, there are 9 million other more people in that movie who are more interesting than her.
Yes.
Like, she is just blah. Yep. She is beige. She is milquetoast in that movie.
Like I said, I saw that in 2 Weeks Notice the same day, and I love 2 Weeks Notice a lot more. Even 2 Weeks Notice is not a great movie.
Yeah.
But I always remember it as better than it was because I saw them on the same day.
Yeah. I just, but I'm trying to remember because after that, she got into, there was the whole Geely debacle.
Yeah. You had the Bennifer of it all.
Yeah. It's like she, you know, I know she was doing other stuff.
She goes back and forth to music and acting and stuff back and forth. So she's always,
it's
always just, busy.
Yeah. And like, oh God, she did a movie like with Robert Redford too. And I was like, I don't know. I haven't watched it. Cause I'm like, my love of Robert Redford is deep and abiding and he can do no wrong. But I'm like, it's Jennifer Lopez in a drama.
I think she did one with Jim Caviezel too. Angel Eyes?
Angel Eyes, yes. And then there's, how can I forget the movie Enough?
But yeah, so she took a more dramatic turn with a lot of her
roles. She did, and those...
I think she thought she was going to be like Barbara Streisand-esque, like she was going to... Not that she isn't a good actress, that's not what I mean. But she thought she was going to be bigger than she ended up, like, her movies didn't end up doing well critically or popularity-wise either.
Yeah.
And then Geely killed her. Like,
yes.
Movie wise, Geely, like, well, she's also got the Backup Plan? Is that her?
The Backup Plan and Monster in Law.
Monster in Law is good.
I
stand behind Monster in Law. And I haven't seen The Backup Plan, but I need to because Alex O'Loughlin's in it and I love him.
This is probably not true, and it might just be that, like, they were on television around the same time, but I have memories that have conflated The Backup Plan and Knocked Up.
They came around the same time.
Okay.
It was around the same
and
time.
And so I'm like, I
think The Backup Plan was first.
Like, because I have seen Knocked Up, I have not seen The Backup Plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so, like, reticent to see it because of, like, my hatred for Knocked
but
Up.
But it's the opposite of Knocked Up.
I know it is.
It's she gets artificially inseminated, then meets the man of her dreams.
Yeah, so I know. It's
the opposite. But I love Alex O'Loughlin, so I was like, I need to watch that someday. And now that we're doing this podcast, maybe I will.
Right. Yeah, there are definitely movies, that, like, because I go to the library and just, like, look for movies, like, just to... stuff that I haven't seen. I'm like, you know, I'm going to rent this movie. And I find ones that I'm like, Michelle and I should consider this.
I'm like, add this to the
list. Just adding this to the list. But anyway, we are just completely rambling now.
That's fine. We're talking about Jennifer Lopez. We just got a little
off. This would normally be a conversation that we would have had at the start of the podcast. And we're just having
Let me ask you this way. Let's just bring it back. Wedding Planner. Is it a must-see rom-com? Like, is it one that you would put up?
Would I put it in the rom-com canon?
Yeah. Like, is it one that you would put up there? Because I think it is for me, too. Like, if you're looking for a good rom-com, I say it is definitely a good 2000s or late 90s, 2000s mm-hmm. rom-com. Very different than 10 Things, which is the last movie we did.
Yeah.
But they're different canon. That's a high school Shakespeare movie. Yeah,
that might also be coloring some of my experience, because we did just watch Things I Hate About You, and that movie is perfect. So...
Anyways, that's all I have.
Okay, so I have nothing else to add either, so that will get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. As always, we thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye!
If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.